Yeah, okay, so we're dealing with the question, the Entosis, Lama Testament Aleph, Kesher Aliyah. Okay, Dibra Mas Kesher Aliyah. The question is, where's the Kesher Aliyah? You need at least the Kesher, right? The Gemara is saying you need a Kesher, the Tzitzis, to make it a part of the Beged. And you know it has to be part of the Beged because you have to be Docha Kalayim. So Kalayim is part of the Beged, but since it has to be part of the Beged, therefore you have a Kalayim problem, therefore the Torah has to be Docha. Okay, so it's saying, question is, what's this Kesher Aliyah? Does it mean B'dafka Kesher Samach LeBeged? Okay. Or no, it means any Kesher, even at the end. The end's also okay. Okay. So on the surface, the end's okay, it's fine, because any Kesher. Kesher attaches to the Beged. Once there's a Kesher, it means that the thing is attached to the Beged. Kesher is permanence. So therefore, either one should be good. But the other one says no, because if it has to be at the beginning, because if it's at the end, then it's not going to be climb. It's too far, right? It says Rachuk from the Beged. It's Rachuk from the Beged already, it's not going to work. Okay, rachuk from the talus is not going to work. Okay, and therefore it's not going to be kalayim. It's not part of the rachuk. Apparently, if they're not as rachuk from the beged, it's not going to be kalayim, and it's not going to be part of the beged. It's not going to be tzitzis. It's perfect. It's not good. So the question is, what does rachuk from the beged have to do with it? But it's attached. It's firmly attached. Because then not the beginning at the end, right? And what's the machlis to pshatim? Right, and we said it has to be a question. It would seem not a question in tzitzis, nor a question in kalayim, but a universal question in beged. Okay, that's the commonality here is between the two. Is one makes something part of beged, will it become part of the beged or not? So it's always hard when you have to make a question like broad like that. I mean, what's it a question in? Okay. So I was thinking as follows. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I say it like this. Okay. Maybe this is a good way to approach it. Is that in tzitzis, so again, what we're trying to do is make him part of a beged. Okay? But I'd say like this, is a beged exists in two worlds. Okay? There's the substance of the beged and the function of the beged. Okay? Substance of the beged, and then its function is like, I guess, to protect from the elements, right? Okay. Right? Fine. Now, the thing is like this, is you could raise a difficulty, is that when I put a string making part of the beged, right? Now, I see how it is that when I tie a string to the beged, it becomes part of the substance, because I'm tying it. So it becomes permanently affixed to part of the substance of the beged, right? The knot is makes it a part of the substance. It continues the substance. But it would seem that the function of beged can't really be accomplished by strings, right, by a strand. I mean, the function of beged demands like continuous substance. I mean, that's what allows it to function. Right? You just have a bunch of strings. It's not beged. It's not going to do what it was supposed to do. It's not going to protect an element. It's not going to cover. It's not going to. I mean, it's so it doesn't seem like. So it seems like in tzitzis, it's true the strings are extending the substance of the beged. But what about the function? Function is an element of beged as well. So function is an element as well. So how does it become a part of the beged? What about that aspect of beged? Okay. Right, you have a question? Okay. So there's two possibilities. So you could say simple. That's not a question. Because essentially a beged is a substance. You could say like this. Essentially a beged is a substance. Okay? And it's a substance which has a certain function associated with it, right? Now, if I extend and tie the strings onto the end of it, so I've extended the substance of the beged. So now the parameters of the beged go include the tzitzis as well. Now, this entire entity has a certain function associated with it, okay? Because the entity as a whole protects, okay? Now, the fact that the tzitzis don't participate in the function, what do I care? As the function, the entity as a whole has the function. Okay, the entity as a whole has that function, and this is a part of the entity because I permanently affixed it as a part of the entity. So what do I care if a part of it doesn't participate? Because essentially it's a substance. The substance has been extended, so part of it doesn't function. Okay, fine, it doesn't function. Who cares? Okay, as long as it is permanently, totally affixed to the baguette in a permanent kind of a way, it's an extension of the substance of the baguette, and that's it. And the beged has a function. Okay, so yours is maybe like collar and a shirt. A collar and a shirt isn't functioning, but as the shirt, but it's a part of the beged, right? I mean, you could argue the collar functions maybe to hold the tie or maybe for style or whatever. But I don't see why it has to be. It's part of the thing. It's not. It's not functioning, but it's a part of it. It's part. It's permanently affixed, so it's a part of it. It's a part of the substance. Okay, function is this different thing. So it's true. If you have the substance without any function, then it's not a baguette. It's just a piece of material. But once the substance has a function, so now the whole thing is defined as baguette. Okay, fine. Now if you'd say that, then I'd say that's the first pshat. It doesn't matter. What's the difference whether they're not so close to the baguette or far from the baguette? It doesn't really make a difference. I mean, either way. But what's important is it permanently attached to the baguette through kasher. Kasher is what makes it a part of the substance. Okay, if it's not a kasher, it's not a part of it because it could fall out. It's not permanent. But as long as there's a kasher, it's a part of the substance of the baguette. And now the baguette's a baguette, so it's a part of it. Okay, that's the easy way to go. But perhaps you could argue now, is that really a baguette is, maybe I'll just say it in the strongest form now, but really a baguette is a functional thing. Baguette is a functional entity. And if something is not participating in the function of the baguette, then it's not part of the baguette. Okay? Because that's what makes a baguette into a baguette and not just a piece of cloth, it's the function. So if you want something to become a part of the baguette, it really has to participate in the function. Okay? If it doesn't participate in the function, then it can't be a part of the baguette. Okay? So now the question is, if that's the case, now how could the tzitzis be a part of the baguette? Because after all, strings don't participate in the function of baguette. So how could tzitzis become part of the baguette? But the answer could be that if you have kasher elyon samach leknaf, then at that point it really is participating in the function. Okay? Because a kasher is really like a stitch. Okay? So if you have a kasher right near the knaf, right? So the strings, the part of the strings where it's right there, where you have a knot around the knaf of the baguette, okay, right at that point, so there's no difference between that knot and all the other stitching of the baguette, okay? Because that's just another knot, another stitch, another knot in the baguette. So at that point, at that part of the baguette, it really is functioning. It's a part of the functional baguette, right? Because the functional baguette is delimited by the knaf, and this is really samach leknaf, and there's the knot there, samach leknaf. So it becomes a part of the baguette, so to speak, at the part of the baguette where it's still functional. You know what I mean? So therefore, the entity becomes associated, attached to the functional entity of the baguette. Okay, so therefore, the tzitzis could become a part of this functional unit because it at the beginning of it participates in the function of the baguette. So therefore, the tzitzis will be able to become a part of the baguette because the tzitzis is one entity, and the beginning of the inception of the entity is participating in the function of the baguette. But if you don't have a kasher right away, so then basically you just have a bunch of strings hanging down. Okay, you have strings hanging down, which aren't the function of the baguette is basically over. Okay, the function of the baguette is at the part where the material ends, and now you just have a bunch of strings hanging down. The strings hanging down without a knot aren't kasher, so it's not a part of the baguette at the solid part of the baguette. So yeah, at 5 minutes later, or at the whatever, and just talking later, you have a knot. Yeah, but that knot comes after the functional baguette already was completed. So now this unit of tzitzis doesn't participate in the function in any way. So it's not really part of the baguette. So it's not going to work. So just to focus again on the point of the question again, I'd say the strongest form to see the pivotal point most clearly, although it may be too strong, but just one way to say it, which is open to being proved wrong, is what's the essence of baguette? Is a baguette essentially a substance which just happens to have a function associated with it? So then it doesn't matter where the kasher is, right? Because as long as part of the substance, it's part of the substance. Or do you say no? Is essentially it's a functional thing. And therefore, something cannot be a part of the baguette unless it's associated with the function as well. Okay, but the problem that would explain it. But it could be it's not true though. You know what I mean? Like it's a broad statement.
So
the other thing is, it could be that it's not true. Again, I mean, it's a broad statement about Beged. It would seem to have like 15 afkaminas in the world of, in every case, every sugya about Beged, you know. So it could be, again, if you don't want to go so strong. I mean, I could see saying that the other way. Is that really a Beged is a substance, which has, if everyone agrees a Beged is a substance, which is two things. It's a substance which has a function associated with it. Now the question is could something be a part of the Beged if it's only a part of the substance without being a part of the function, without participating in the function? I mean, that itself you can see is a question, you know? Because that's the most basic form of that. In other words, is a Beged has two components, substance and function. Now if something extends the substance but doesn't extend the function, is it a part of the Beged? I mean, you don't have to say Beged is essentially a functional thing to say that it has to participate in function to be a part of it. I mean, it may not be essentially that, but it could be that's a necessary component. Certainly, if you just have a cloth without function, it's not Beged. So you see, Beged, although it's a substance, it does definitely demand function. Now, does that mean that every single part of it has to participate in that function? Or you say, no, as long as the shame of that function is associated with the unit, so then that's okay, and something could be a part of it, even if it doesn't relate to that function. Right. Like we said as an example, like I think the example of like a train on a wedding gown is a good example. A train on a wedding gown is like you have it doesn't really participate in the function. It's like after the length of the gown, so it's already, you know, not participating in the function, but it extends the substance, it's extension of the substance of it. So is that part of a Beged? I mean, it's a good type of a mushroom to get, you know. I mean, it kind of participates in the it's extension of substance, but not part of the function. So, is that a part of the gown, or is it a separate thing? I mean, you could question. I mean, use that to play out all the spots. Okay. So I say that the way of saying it is essentially functional substance is the strongest form, but I don't think you want to go so far. You know, I mean, it would seem to. I mean, it may depend upon that, but it may not. I mean, it may just depend upon a certain intuition about a Beged. I mean. Whether if you don't have the function, could something be a part of it without participating in the function? Okay, so now we're going to go further than Tosfos. Okay, now Tosfos is very hard in Pshat. And I mean, part of it, you need the Gemara Yevamos. It's based on the Gemara Yevamos, which I'll talk about outside a little bit. But some of this Tosfos, I just have no idea. I just have no idea what Pshat is. I could not figure out. But let's do some of it. I did, some of it didn't. So we'll go over the Pshat that we could do. Maybe you guys could help me figure out some part of it, and maybe we'll set it up for tomorrow to give some svaras here. Okay, but let's just try to get the pshat out of the way. This is a v'tema. Okay, the fourth line tells us. V'tema lahai demuchach. According to this, hechi masik b'yavamos. Lahai demuchach means that according to this, which the Gemara demonstrates, that you see from the fact that the Torah has to be docha, set up the chia of a kalai and mitzitzis, it demonstrates that keshel yon deoraisa, right? So according to that logic, Hechi masik biyavamos. Lamant lo dar smuchan, el hecha de mufne. Okay? So there's a shito hold that smuchim, this halacha, you know, you dar smuchim. It's based on smuchim. So the question is a shito hold that you can only be dar smuchim, not just because the Torah puts them next to each other, but because it's mufne. Mufne is like extra. It didn't have to really write one of them here. It's like an extra time. Like, for instance, let's say you said Losilvishka Shan is Semer Pishtin Yachtav Gedil Ntasalcha. So you don't have to tell me Losilvishka is Semer Pishtin Yachtav. We already know what Kalayim is. We know that Kalayim is Semer Pishtin Yachtav. So what do you have to tell me Semer Pishtin Yachtav? We already know Semer Pishtin Yachtav. Right. So the fact that it wrote Semer Pishtin Yachtav is Mufna, is extra. Okay, Mufna, it's like extra. There shows you have that a lot. Mufna means it's like a. So that's a question. I mean, this is going to get. This sort of gets into what, how much of it has to be extra, but there has to be something extra here. So since it's extra, it's, in general, he holds it, she holds it, you can only be Dor Smuchim if there's something extra. Okay, if there's something extra. You have questions like Xer Shavas, if you're Dor Shavas, if it's Mufna, Mishneit Stadim, or one Sad, do they both have to be extra, or only one extra? But that's a Shita. She holds it, Smuchim's only if it's Mufna. So the Gemara says, according to that, it says, Semer Pishtin is extra. I want to explain why it's that extra. It says, because there's no aduka. The tsemer pishan lamali, right? The kalayim. Why do you have to say tsemer pishan? Okay, mitana. Sorry, lamali b'tzitzis. What do you have to write it by right near tzitzis? Mitana debay Rabbi Yishmael shma'inan debigdayan tsemer pishan. And as we already know from Tana debay Rabbi Yishmael that. Now he's saying like this, and he says, what do you need the smichos to teach me that semer pishon, that tkalim is nidches by tzitzis. Okay, what do you need that for? He's saying, because the Torah tells you that you have to put tzitzis al kanfei bigdayim. Right, you have to put tzitzis al kanfei bigdayim. Now, kanfei bigdayim, we know in general the beged means semer pishon. Okay, semer pishon. Right. So if beged is semer pishon, so let's take pishon for instance. Right. Obviously, you have to put tzitzis on pishon beged because it's al kanfei bigdayim, and we know in general that beged includes semer pishon. So pishon beged. Now pishon beged. Now the Torah says that tzitzis needs tchelas. Tchelas is semer. So he says, what do you need a whole smucha? You know, a whole smucha, a whole limud, a whole anything to show it's docha? Just simply the fact that the Torah tells you that pishon is chayv and tzitzis, I already know that it's docha kalayim. What do you need a smucha for? Right? I already know it. Gemara wants to know. It's obvious. Because the Torah tells me Beged is Chayv and Tzitzis. Beged includes Pishton. Since Beged includes Pishton, and Pishton Tzitzis has to be made out of Tzemer, Tchayv is made out of Tzemer, so I already know that it's Docha, Tzitzis Docha Kalayim. So what do I need this whole Smuchim for? Okay? That's basically, so at one point in the Gemara, I think that's what he's referencing. At one point in the Gemara, almost, that's the question which it asks. Okay, what do you need this whole, whole thing for, right? So it goes through the whole thing, showing why you need it. Okay, the Gemara gives an answer, but Tosis is asking, is going to ask on this. It says, according to that, v'hashta kesher elyon lo shmoina. Okay, but according to that, okay, now let's take this carefully. Okay, so according to that, let's say you learn that way. Let's say you know the reason why you. It could do tzemer and pishon, that it's docha. It's not pshat because of smuchim, but it's simply because beged pishon has to have tzitzis on it, right? It has to have tzitzis on it. Beged pishon has to have tzitzis, so I know it has tzitzis, right? Yeah, but if that were the case, so would I know kesher elyon? Would I know that you need a kesher elyon? Okay. Would I know that? Because maybe I'll tell you that why is it that a beged pishon could have tzemer? Could have tzemer, could have tchelas, because there's no need for a kasher. Because who's to tell you that has anything to do with kasher? Maybe there's no need for a kasher in tzitzis. So therefore, it's not pshat that tzitzis is docha kalayim. It's pshat that there's no clash in the first place. Because the only reason there's a clash is because you tell me kasher in deoraisa, right? But how do I know kasher in deoraisa? I'm only learning it out from the fact that the Torah is telling me there's a clash and it's docha. But if you were to entertain the possibility that there is no halacha of dechia, but it's just simply from the fact that the Torah tells you that beged pishon needs tzitzis, so maybe the reason why it beged pishon has tzitzis is because there's no kalayim, there's no knots. No knots altogether. Right? So maybe you need the smuchim, the limud, which is telling you that it's docha, to tell you that it actually has to be docha. That kesher elyon is deoraisa, and the fact that because the fact that you have to be docha shows you that tzitzis, a halacha about tzitzis, not about the chiyah, but about tzitzis. That kesher elyon is deoraisa, and therefore I need the chiyah. It's funny. Maybe the reason why you need to teach me that it's docha is not because without it I think it's not docha, but I think without it, there's no need for the chiyah, because you don't need kesher elyon. So maybe the fact that it's docha isn't coming to tell you that you're allowed to put tzitzis on a beged pishon. You already know that, but I think you're doing it because kasher, you don't need a kasher, so that's why you're doing it. So it's teaching you, no, it's docha. What does docha mean? Obviously, there's a clash. If it's docha, it means there's a clash. So it's teaching kasher in the raisa. So how could you entertain the possibility? You don't need the smuchim. You'll just see it in Tosfos again. So it says, it's imkein lo avi klayim. Masa kasher in lo shemena. Here, you don't need a, you don't learn how to kasher elyon. Imkein lo avi klayim. Oh, elam mishum imkein lo avi klayim. No, because I'll tell you, it's because there's no klayim. That's why it's mutter to have semer and beged pishon. Ve'ister chaper le'asuyei semer pishon. You need, therefore, you have to have this semer pishon. Lomar she'et sarach la'asos dominion she'evayim kalayim. To teach you that it must be done in a way that it has kalayim. It must be done in a way that has kalayim, and therefore you need the dechia. Okay. So again, he's saying, his question is like this. He's saying the Gemara wants to know, why do you need this smuchim altogether? What do you need to be mocked to tell me that kalayim is docha? Tzitzis is docha kalayim. Okay, you don't need it. You don't need it. It's why? Because I already know beged pishon has tzitzis and tzitzis is tzemer. Okay, but now he's saying like this. Maybe That's not because tzitzis is docha kalayim, right? It's not because tzitzis is docha kalayim. Okay? Rather, it's because tzitzis has nothing to do with kalayim. Because tzitzis doesn't have any knots. Okay? Tzitzis doesn't have any knots. So if tzitzis didn't have any knots, then of course a beggar pishtun could have tzitzis, right? And then I would say tzemer keshein is not deraisa. There's no reason need for keshein deraisa. But in fact, so that would be the case if you didn't have any smuchim nasa, if any lima, that's what you'd say. Any dechia, that's what you'd say. So maybe, what do you need the halacha of the lima for? What do you need the halacha of dechia for? To teach you, the fact that it says that it's docha teaches you that it has to be docha, that there is a clash. So, because of the fact that it teaches you it's docha, maybe it's not to teach you that that it's docha, but it's to teach you that there is a clash, and therefore it's docha. Now, why do I care if there is a clash and it's deoraisa and it's docha? What do I care if there's no? What's the difference if there's no clash or if there's a clash and it's docha? Either way, I could do it. The difference is, do I need kesher aliyah? Because if you were to say that a beged pishtan has tzitzis of tzemer with no clash, so it means in general you never have to do kesher aliyah. But now that the Torah is telling me that it's docha, it shows you that I must I have to do a kesher aliyah, and therefore it's docha. Therefore, it needs to be docha. So it's saying, since this Gemara is saying, how do you know Kesher and Deraisa? Our Gemara is saying what? How do we know Kesher and Deraisa? We know it because the Torah says, Kalayim is a Docha Kalayim. So he's saying, that must be so because of that Smuchim, therefore we derive Kesher and Deraisa. So he's saying, so how could the Gemara and Yevamos entertain that you don't have the Smuchim? It's true that if you didn't have the Smuchim, you would know that a Beged Pishtun is Chayiv and Tzitzis anyways, but you wouldn't know Kesher and Deraisa. You just say that it's Beged Pishtun has tzitzis, and you don't do it in a way that has kalayim. The problem, the punchline, what's the problem? The problem is like this, is that it turns out that, what do you learn out from the smuch? Okay, it turns out you learn two things. One thing is that tzitzis is docha kalayim. Okay? The second thing you learn out, according to our Gemara, is that kesh aliyah deraisa. Two halachos. Okay, kesher aliyah deraisa. Because the fact that you have to be docha shows that a kesher aliyah deraisa. Right? So two things you learn out from the smucha. Okay? That's fact one. Two things you learn out. Fact two is the Gemara and Yevamos asks, why do you need smucha? You don't need it. Okay? You don't need the smucha. Because even if you didn't have the smucha, I would know that a beged pishtan has tzitzis tzemer. Okay, no beggar pishtun is chayiv anyways. So what do I need to tell me that a smuchim saying is docha? Even if it didn't say, I don't need a separate pasuk to tell you. Obviously, a beggar pishtun is chayiv and tzitzis. A beggar pishtun is chayiv and tzitzis. So I already know that a beggar pishtun is chayiv and tzitzis. So I already know that it's docha, right? But that, right, that's what Gemara and Yevamos asks. So Tos says that's true. So fact one, I would already know the fact that there's dechia, that a beggar tzemer, that on a beggar pishtun I put tzitzis. That I would know, even if I didn't have the smuchim. But what about fact number two, which I derive from the smuchim? Fact number two is that I'm chayav to do kasher elyon. Right? If I didn't have smuchim, I wouldn't know that I have to do kasher elyon. I would know that. All I'd know is that a beged pishtun has tzitzis, has tzemer. Fine, but maybe there are no knots. And that's why. It's not because it's docha kalayim, it doesn't run into kalayim altogether. So I would have never derived fact number two, namely kasher and deraisa. But our Gemara is saying that this smuchim teaches me two halachos. First of all, that it's docha. Second of all, that you need kesher aliyah. So how could the Gemara and Yevamos entertain that you wouldn't have smuchim? It's true, without smuchim, you'd know that pishlan has tzemer tzitzis, but you wouldn't know kesher in deoraisa. The question on the Havmin and that Gemara, how could that Gemara ask that question? Because the Gemara, it's a funny question. But it's saying that Gemara should be aware of this halacha that Kesher Elyon is learned out from. Apparently, that's the premise of those questions. That Gemara should be aware of this Gemara, which holds Kesher Elyon is learned out from the Smuchim. And since the Gemara knows that, so therefore, how could you ask that you don't need the Smuchim? You need it for the halacha of Kesher Elyon. I know, it's funny. You could have just answered that's the Havmin. I mean, that's the Havmin of the Gemara, but ain't a Chanami. Maybe you said, but apparently that's Tosas Barabai. Tosas is saying that Gemara shouldn't, that based upon that Gemara, which asks, how do you know Smuchim, it seems to hold that Smuchim has nothing to do with Kesher Elyon. Like, Smuchim is only necessary for itself, and Kesher is not learned out from there. Okay? In other words, since the Gemara is asking in Yevamos, even if you never had the smuchim, there would be no halacha consequence. Right? Why? Because it's saying, what's the smuchim teaching you? That tzitzis is da'ach ha'kalayim, which means that if you have a bag of pesh on your chayim and tzitzis, even though it's going to be tzemer, it doesn't matter. Tzitzis is da'ach ha'kalayim. That's what the smuchim is teaching you. And he's saying, and let's say you didn't have the smuchim, there would be no consequence, because there was no smuchim still. I know it's a beged peshtan has to be chayiv, and obviously tzitzis is semer. So there's no halacha consequence of the fact that you have the smuchim. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos is asking. But he's saying, no, there is a halacha consequence, because if you learn this, if it's through smuchim, then you could deduce this halacha of kesher elyon, as our Gemara showed. If there were no smuchim, and all it were the fact that peshtan has tzitzis, so you wouldn't be able to deduce the halacha of kesher elyon. So why don't you say, how's the Gemara saying, we don't need the smuchim, there's no halacha consequence. There's a halacha consequence to teach me the fact that kesher elyon deoraisa. How else would I know kesher elyon deoraisa? So how could the Gemara there ask, what do you need smuchim for? Maybe you need smuchim to teach me kesher elyon deoraisa. Because our Gemara is showing that the smuchim doesn't just teach the beggar pishon chayim and tzitzis, smuchim ends up teaching kesher elyon deoraisa as well. So you need the smuchim to teach me kesher elyon deoraisa. So what's the Gemara bothered by of what do you need the smuchim for? It's clear what you need the smuchim for. This Gemara shows you there's another limit from the smuchim, kesher elyon deoraisa. So what's the Gemara there? Shouldn't have any question. Funny part of the question is it's like asking on the havmin of the Gemara there. How could the Gemara have such a havmin if you already knew this? It's a specific question on havmin. But it's valid. I mean, if you want to, apparently he's giving trust to the Havin of the Gemara. The Gemara must have known this sugya, must have learned it. Okay, so let's see what he answers. Okay, his answer is it's a good logical answer, and it could be it's the way he naturally thought about it. But he says like this: he says, what's he saying? So I think he's giving the logical answer. Okay? Logical answer is like this. Is that... No, you're misunderstanding our Gemara. Our Gemara isn't saying that the reason... how do we know Kesher Elyon Deoraisa? Because of this smucha. It's not saying that. We know Kesher Elyon Deoraisa because we know it. In fact, we know it because of Gedil. Gedil means a Gedil Tov. Deal. It's not a good deal if it's not a permanent without a kesher. It's not a good deal. It's a svara in good deal. Okay, but maybe it's a good svara. Maybe it's a bad svara. But that's how we know. Okay, this Gemara is proving that that's a good svara. Okay, because if it were not true that kesher elyon deoraisa, then what do you need a bidocha kalayim for? Okay, what do you need a bidocha kalayim for? So the fact that the Torah had a bidocha kalayim shows us that in fact, Gedil, that's a good svara. That Gedil must be a permanent thing, and therefore we need a Kesher Elyon. Okay? So it's not pshat that you're learning out Kesher Elyon from the Smuchim. No, you're learning out Kesher Elyon from Gedil. But the Smuchim is just a raya that's appropriate, that's true. Huh. So if it's a raya, so then the question you've almost as good is, what do you need the Smuchim for? What do you need the Smuchim for? The Smuchim is really just to teach you that it's Docha. Just teaches docha, but even if I didn't have that, I'd know that it's docha, because I know that a beged semer has to have a beged pishlan has to have tzitzis, and I know kesher, and of course I know kesher elyon, I know kesher elyon from gedil, and it's not saying I know. It's true, I may lose my raya if I didn't have the smuchim. I may lose my raya, but you can't tell me the Torah wrote the thing to be a raya. The smuchim has to teach me a raya. The smuchim has to teach you something. So the premise of his question was that our Gemara, when it's saying that you see Kesher Elyon Deoraisa, this proof that Kesher Elyon Deoraisa because of this whole thing, was saying that that's Rava's Shema Amino, that's actually how the halacha, how Rava knows, that's actually the limud to teach me that Kesher Elyon Deoraisa. If that's the case, then you can't possibly entertain that you don't need that smuchim, because then you need it. But his answer is, no, that's not the limud, that's not how we know. We know it because it's Gedil, and Gedil Rav Old means Gedil Tov. Gedil means Gedil Tov, that's how we know. But the Rav is just trying to show a raya that's a good svara. The raya is because if it weren't true that you needed a Gedil, that you needed a Kesher Elyon, then what do you need to have the smuchim, the heter for? What do you have to have Kitz Docha? So it proves, the fact that it's saying it's Docha, it proves that it must be that you really do need a Gedil Tov. But that's just the proof, it's a support. Okay. What's Ola from this? is that according to Tosfos, he's saying that how do I know? Again, because the way we were learning, I think we were really learning like it's Havamim. Because we said, how do you know that has to be part of the bag? And we said, maybe it is part of the bag, it's not part of the bag. We didn't know, right? He said, how do you know? Because the Kalayim has to be the Ochel Kalayim, so the teacher has to be part of the bag, right? But now what Tosfos is saying is no. Is that that's not why it has to be. That's not why it has to be part of the Baggit. Or maybe that's a proof. But he's saying the term Gedil itself, okay? The term Gedil itself demands that it's part of the Baggit. Demands that it's you need a kasher. Okay? Or how about this? Or maybe a little better. The way we were explaining is why did it have to be part of, why did you need a kasher aliyah? According to what we said. Why do you need a kasher aliyah? Because it has to be part of the Baggit. Right, that's what we've been saying all until now, right? Because it has to be part of the baguette. That's what the kasher aliyah is necessary. How do you know it has to be part of the baguette? Because kalayim mitzvot, because I have to be the kalayim. But Tosfos isn't saying that. Tosfos is saying, why does that thing you need a kasher? Why need a kasher? Because otherwise it's not a gedil. Otherwise it's not a gedil. Gedil means gedil tov. Not a gedil doesn't mean part of the baguette. Gedil is a chain. Okay, but apparently he's saying that it's not considered a gedil if it's not, it doesn't have a kasher. Okay, it doesn't have a kasher. We were saying no. We were saying, on the contrary, if you only had Gedil, you'd say Yomo Yomayim was good. Remember, that was Rashi. If you just had Gedil, I'd say it's that was our Svara. Yomo Yomayim is a Gedil, because once it has lasts a day or two, so that's a Gedil. But then, so why do you need a Kesher? A Kesher is going to have to be part of the Baggit. How do you know part of the Baggit? Because Kalayim. Right? So according to Rashi, Gedil really just means a day or two would be good for a Gedil. Tosfos is saying, no, Gedil itself teaches you that you need a Kesher. And it has to be Gedil Tov. Has to be permanent. This is just a raya. This is just a raya. I'll prove to you it must be, because therefore, since you need gedil tov, therefore it has to be part of the bag, and therefore you have to be dochet kalayim, and the whole thing really goes together. So it turns out, Olaf, and this is machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, is that if you say you need a gedil, does the gedil have to exist? If you only had gedil, you didn't have this part of the bag thing, does that tell you what day or two would be good? Or you say no, gedil itself teaches that it has to be permanent. Deal itself teaches that to be permanent. Definitely, because it's part of the baguette, that means it has to be permanent. But without that, does Gedil itself tell you it has to be permanent? Or no, Gedil can just be what day or two. Okay. That's what's all. That's what we have to define. I'll try to do that tomorrow. Okay, and then Tosa gives another answer, Inami. I don't know what he's saying. Okay, for now we're going to skip it. If anyone can figure out Pshat, you can call me up and tell me. Okay, I have no idea what he's saying. I just can't figure it out. I worked on it, but I don't know. Doesn't seem to have anything to do with the question. Okay, but now let's see. V'hachinami. You see V'hachinami? V'hachinami Tiran. The American will say it's filling mashma with bina shazurin. Okay, the halacha is mashma that you need shazurin for tzitzis. Tzitzis have to be shazurin. Shazurin means the strings are twisted. The way it comes off the sheep, it's not twisted. Our strings are twisted. So it says the Gemara there implies tzitzis needs twisted strings. Okay, it has to be shazurin. So it says, Rabbeinu Tam Nami Pirshi, Yenu Chayvel Klaimet Shem Eshazer. He says, by Kalayim, Rabbeinu Tam holds, is if you have strings which aren't Mishazer, aren't Shazur, it's not Kalayim. Okay? So he says, Vimken, Itzrich Tuva Krod the Kalayim Tzitzis. It's the same thing. And maybe you'll say, but how do you know that Tzitzis have to be Shazurin? He's suggesting. Maybe because of the same thing. That what do you have to, if you didn't need Shazurin, right? If you didn't need Shazurin by Tzitzis, so what do you need to teach me that Kalayim is Doch at Tzitzis? Maybe I'll just tell you that Tzitzis has nothing to do with Kalayim. Because Kalayim is only when it's Shazurin. So do Tzitzis not Shazurin. So the fact that the Torah had to be Doch teaches you that Tzitzis does have to be Shazurin. Just like Kalayim. Right? So again, how could the Gemara and Yevamos entertain saying you don't need the Smuchim? Don't you need the Smuchim to teach you Shazurin? So the answer is no. The big day kahuna. The key in the trailer shows you didn't love him. That from, you feel like the star changes. Trailer, but sets mit trailer, big day kahuna, the bean is the room, the trailer shows you didn't love him. Say, no, same thing. Same type of answer. That we don't know Shazurin because of the fact that it's Doha. That's not how we know Shazurin. We know Shazurin in its own right. Shazurin we know because by trailer in the big day kahuna, it was made out of trailer, and they were Shazurin. And since Tchelas is Tchelas, so the same way Tchelas in Big Day Kuna is a Shazurin, so to here it's a Shazurin. So to Baitzit is a Shazurin. And since the Tchelas is a Shazurin, so the Lovin's also a Shazurin. So since it turns out that the Tzitzis have to be Shazurin, so therefore you're going to have a question, is that it's going to run into Kalayim problems, so then Kalayim, maybe it's going to be Docha. Okay, so he's saying, You know, fine. So that's how he's answering the question. So my question is, if we can explain a little bit what Shazurin is and how it relates to this whole thing, and could we say anything about this? Again, it's not, you know, it's a little bit off the point, but it would be nice if we could understand what's this halacha of Shazurin. Where does it fit in? How do you learn from Big Day Kahuna? Big Day Kahuna's not do this. I mean, Big Day Kahuna's, anyway, just explain just what's going on there, okay? So let's work on, for tomorrow, let's work on that difference that Rashi tells us, the difference about Gedil and the Shazurin thing. See what we could say about that. Okay? Then afterwards we'll go further, but tomorrow that should get us going.